I'd like to share with you a few thoughts on the subject of Rosh Hashanah, and particularly on the role of simcha, of joy, in the celebration of Rosh Hashanah. In our religion, there are many interesting paradoxes. We do things that seem to be self-contradictory. Some simple examples of the fact that even on Shabbos, we perform a bris milah. Bris milah involves activities which under other circumstances would be absolutely forbidden on Shabbos. And yet, here we are in Shabbos, in shul, our best clothing on, etc., and the mohel is performing activities which under other circumstances would be asur. It's interesting, when in Mirzah Hashem the Beis HaMikdosh will be rebuilt, when the Holy Temple will be rebuilt, we'll be offering animal sacrifices even on Shabbos. And so we will be doing many activities, slaughtering animals and flaying them and putting them upon the fire, etc., which would be prohibited on Shabbos. So there's this paradox in many of our observances. What's striking is that sometimes we are asked to contain two emotions which are contradictory. And we have the paradox of having to contain within ourselves contradictory emotions, two opposite sets of feelings. And one great example of this is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a day of awe. It's Yoshoni Yom Kippur are called the Yomim Noroim, the frightful days, the awesome days, fearful days, days of awe. And indeed, they are, Yemei Hadin, days of judgment. And indeed, we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah, because Sifrei HaChayim, V'Sifrei HaMesim, Pesuchim Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the books of life, the books of death are open before God. That's no time to sing and to rejoice, and to say Hallel, to say these beautiful songs of praise. It's a fearful day. Pachad. Din. Fear. Justice. Judgment. On the other hand, in many ways, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov like every other Yom Tov. We prepare for Yom Tov. We shave, take haircuts, and bathe. Put on our Shabbos clothing, our Yom Tov clothing. The table is set beautifully. We eat festive meals. L'chu ichlu mashmanim, we are told, to delight, take delight, and to really live it up. It's a festive day. And indeed, halachically, some of the great poskim, the Shagas Aryeh, has a long essay on the role of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. How can we explain a day which is a day of joy on the one hand and a day of fear on the other hand? And the truth is that we find many examples in Tanakh of our need to contain two opposite sets of emotions, fear and joy. V'gilu ra'ado, we are told. Rejoice in trembling. How do you rejoice in trembling? Trembling is fear, anxiety. And gilu is joy and happiness and dancing and singing. In the Haftorah of Sefer Yeshaya that we learned, we studied together just last week, we read in the shul last week in Parshas Kisavo, we have a posse goes to yiriv in the heart ufochad v'rochav levoveich. Your heart should be full of anxiety, pachad, and also v'rochav levoveich. It should be expansive, outgoing, open. How do we contain these opposite feelings? I'd like to share with you some thoughts on the matter by a great man who tragically was taken from us in a horrible automobile accident just a few short years ago, and whose works and tapes and teachings are becoming even more popular since his death than during his lifetime. And his name was Rabbi Shimshon David Pinkus, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha. He died in Eretz Yisroel in a terrible car accident, I think it was near Bnei Brak or in Bnei Brak, just before Pesach several years ago. And he has several essays in his volume on Yomim Noroim, which address this issue. And here are some of his thoughts. Number one, he says, yes, we call these days Yemei Hadin, Yomim Noroim, days of judgment and fear, but they also go by another name, Yemei HaRachamim V'Haslichos. These days are days of God's compassion and forgiveness. And that theme of rachamim, of compassion, and of slicha, of forgiveness, is just as much a part of the themes of Rosh Hashanah as the theme of din, as the theme of Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Meisim, Pesuchim Lifonov. Indeed, on Rosh Hashanah, there is a special shefa, as he puts it, a special flow of rachamim, of compassion, which comes down from on high. We have to open ourselves up to it, but it's available for us. The Gemara says this, really, Dirshu Hashem b'himotso k'ra'uhu b'hiyoso korov. We're supposed to call upon God when he is to be found, when he is close. And the Gemara asks, when is God closer than the rest of the year? And the Gemara answers, it's the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's these days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur where God is available, he's accessible, he's here for the asking, so to speak. And that must make us feel some simcha, some joy. He has an interesting observation. We all know that Jews, many Jews, perhaps most Jews these days, who are not at all observant all year, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, they come to shul. Maybe for a few hours, they want to hear shofar, they come to fast, come to pray. How do we explain this? So normally we say, well, you know, there's a pintalayid, there's a little spark of a Jew in everyone, and somehow it wakes up on Rosh Hashanah. But Rav Pinkus explained, you know, because there is so much rachamim in the air, it is God's rachamim, God's special compassion and mercy, which is overflowing at this point in time. And some of it reaches every Jew. And it is that rachamim that causes a Jew to wake up and say, you know, I really should come a little closer. I should go to shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So it's this sheva, this abundance of rachamim, which is in the air, here for the asking, which gives us the right, the necessity, to have a great deal of simcha. In another essay, Rav Pinkus takes a different approach to the same problem. And here he talks about the nature of mishpat, of justice, and the special justice on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I mean, to be judged, no one likes to be judged. And the day you go to court, even if it's for a minor offense, it's very scary. You sit there and you hear accusations against you, and your fate is in the balance, and it's frightening. And we understand why on Rosh Hashanah we need to be frightened. It's a day of mishpat. Where's then the simcha? So Rav Pinkus explains that let's not forget who the judge is. The judge is God, and it's God in his quality as melech. On Rosh Hashanah, we coronate God. It's a coronation, a celebration of his kingship. When there's a coronation, then there's great simcha. There are parades and fanfare and pomp and circumstance and music and drama and glamour and happiness, singing, dancing, the king, long live the king. Our king, the king of the universe, is being crowned on Rosh Hashanah, a source for simcha, but he's being crowned as judge. Melech b'mishpot ya'amid oretz. He is the king who will judge us, who will judge the world. When God is the judge, that's very, very different than from when a human being is a judge. When God is a judge, it is a cause for simcha. Remember the pasuk in Tehillim, which we say every Friday night, Yismichu hashamayim v'sogel ha'oretz, the heavens should rejoice, and the land should be glad. Why? Kivolish pot ha'oretz, because God has come to be the judge. Why is there a simcha and gila in response to the coming judgment of God? Pinkus explained that there are two kinds of justice. There's the justice of the king, and there's the justice of what he calls the Ma'areches HaMishpat, which we might call the judicial system, the judicial framework. On earth, we are judged by a judicial framework, and if it's a proper framework, it is taka, a just system. We have in this country, the United States, all right, we're human, there are faults, but basically it's a fair system. That system must judge according to law, according to statutes. The judge himself has very little leeway, has very little discretion to rule as he would like to rule. He has to rule the way the law teaches. And if the law teaches clearly that the consequence for such an action is such and such as punishment, he's got to impose that punishment. Maybe he has a certain leeway, he can reduce it, to commute the sentence a little bit, modify the sentence, but basically he's got to carry out the law. He's not free to enter into a relationship of forgiveness with the accused. So therefore, if we are judged by human systems of justice, we're stuck. We can't get into a relationship with a judge. If anything, that's bribery. That's shocha, that's forbidden. We have to accept the system of justice. However, when God is the judge, that's an entirely different matter. When God is the judge, it's up to him. Justice is his. The law book was written by him. He can suspend a sentence. He can commute a sentence. He can reverse a sentence. He can go so far as to take averos and make them mitzvos. Zdonos, we do tshuva properly, our intentional, spiteful sins are considered, are reckoned as if they were mitzvos, donos kizichuyos. How does that happen? That happens because God has the right to transform, transmute, completely change the system of justice in the interests of a particular convict, in the interest of a particular criminal, or in the interest of a particular sinner. So it's that aspect of justice that gives us simcha. It's the Mehamelech HaMishpat. Mishpat is frightening, but Melech HaMishpat, that gives us hope and a cause for optimism and for joy. More than that, it gives us a chance for a relationship with God. And to approach God, even as a judge, but to enter into a relationship with him, that is the ultimate, ultimate religious experience. That is the religious ideal, to have a connection, a kesher to God. And if it takes mishpat, so it's mishpat. But it's something which brings us into a relationship, into an interaction with God. And this is truly a cause for simcha. Indeed, it's understandable why the Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, says, with reference to Rosh Hashanah, that on Rosh Hashanah one must be happy, semeichem. Why? Because Yodin Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Oseh Lohem Nisim. We know it's a day of justice, a day of judgment, and that gives us the Emas Hadin. But we also are confident that God will do for us miracles, true miracles. And then that's a cause for simcha. I want to close by wishing you all a wonderful, wonderful yontif for Rosh Hashanah, a kesiva v'chasima tova. May you all be written and sealed in the book of life. May you be privileged to take advantage of the rachamim and slichos, the compassion and forgiveness which is in the air. Breathe it in, absorb it, take it, take advantage of it. It's there for the asking. Dirshu Hashem behimotso kru biyoso korov. And Yitz Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, will forgive our sins, will grant us a year of brocha, of simcha, of nachas for my children, of health, and above all, of shalom, the greatest of brochos, of peace in Eretz Yisrael and throughout the world. Agut Yor.